Good morning again.
Morning.
Glad you're all here this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Talk a little bit about joy this morning. We're in the middle of our Advent series. So we've been rotating these banners around. We've got the last three in the room now. So we're at joy today, peace next week, and then Christmas Eve. Jesus. Yep. How do we use the word joy in our lives? We've been looking at this, love, hope, various ways we've been using it. How about the word joy? We don't. Not really. We say we enjoy things. We don't really use the word joy a whole lot. We say happy and blessed. We use these things. We don't say that pizza filled me with so much joy, right? And that wouldn't land right. That bowl of chili, potato soup, whatever it's going to be this afternoon. Joy. There's a reason why we really don't use the word a lot, unless we're singing it in songs, and it's because it's really connected to our faith. It feels off otherwise. That's where we get our joy. That's where we're going to look at it this morning, is in Scripture. The joy that we focus in on during this Advent season here, this waiting for Christmas, this time of waiting on Jesus. Joy, our topic. We're going to see why it feels off to use it in our life, because only one way to truly see and use the word joy. It is the feeling Christians have from their faith. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives and the promise we have in the life to come. That's the joy we look at this morning. And we're going to do so in three parts. Our joy has a reason. Our joy has a cause. And our joy has a reward. Three parts this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning again, and we thank you for your holy word. Help us lean into the words of Peter, but more importantly, your words to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we now found ourselves standing in joy during this Advent series we've got going on. We just discussed that we don't use this word very much. We use similar words to it sometimes. The Bible uses this word quite a bit. Over 400 times we're going to see the word joy or joyful or rejoice in Scripture. What is it in Bible terms? We just read it. It's an emotion, inexpressible and undefinable, and given to us by God through the Holy Spirit within. So it's not merely happy. It's not merely blessed. It's not merely good. It's a fruit of the Spirit given to Christians when they believe. So, during this Christmas season and During this time of Advent, which is the waiting on Jesus, during this time we lean into the Word of God to help us understand joy. Let's dive in. Our joy has a reason. Our text is 1 Peter, and Peter wrote it. We love Peter because he's just like us on our pages, right? He's all in for Jesus while also tripping over his own feet every chance he gets. His words for us on joy this morning. Verse 6 says, "In this you rejoice." So verse 6 points us to why we have joy, the reason. Where is it pointing to? Well, it's pointing to our opening verses this morning. What we find our joy in is listed here. What does it say? Well, let's just read it again. It's that important. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." Wow, that's a lot, right? A lot of big words. That's just a lot. To summarize it, to squish it down into some sort of summary here, we would say we find our joy in the gospel. That's what we would say. We find our joy in what Jesus did for us. The end. Who wants to pray? Let's go eat. You know better than that. Let's go through this list quickly. Who does Peter say is blessed? Right out of the get-go here. He says God. Our focus should always be on Him. He's the giver of our joy. How did He give joy to us here? He caused us to be born again to a living hope. Hope is one of these that we've already covered. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Our hope is in the eternity that awaits us. He died so we could die to our sins, and He was risen so that we may be risen with Him. To newness of life, right? And not to the same old story, right? We're not just picking up where we left off. Newness of life. What is this newness of life? It can't just be any old thing, right? It can't just be some common change, or we would do it ourselves. Verse 4 says, "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." What is that? Well, Acts 20, verse 32 says, "And now I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That is growing in your faith. Ephesians 1, 18, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know that it is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." 1 Peter 1:23, "Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." So that's what we're born into when we're born again. Born again means spirit-filled believer in Jesus. We're talking about real faith here. It does not mean His name on your lips while your heart is in the world. That's not it. That's never it. Maybe you guys know this song. My children know this song because I sing it to them. It's from my youth. I think when I was a child, it was on Lamb Chop. Does anybody ever remember that show? It's like a puppet, right? "This is the song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend." That song. Yay. You're welcome. It would be like me coming to you and saying, "Hey, I just learned a new song," and then I sing you that song. And you think, well, maybe it is new to him. Maybe he just learned it. And then a few days go by, and I come running back to you and say, hey, I've got another new song. I've learned another one. And you go, oh, yeah, what is it? This is the song that doesn't end. That's not new. That's the same song. Please stop singing, right? I may call it new, but it is not. We know this in the world. It's logic, it's reasoning, it's common sense. We see this. There's examples everywhere. Things like if a person is a serial adulterer, and then they claim Jesus, but they remain a serial adulterer, no change at all, then they've not been made new. Are still the same thing. That's not it. That's not what we're discussing. New hearts now and new bodies in the future. That's it. Your inheritance, as Peter calls it, after being made new, is eternal life. That's what our descriptors mean here in our text. Cannot perish, cannot be defiled, can never fade away. That's the inheritance for those who have this hope in Jesus, have this real faith. And it doesn't end there. If this was an infomercial, I would now say, but wait, there's more. What does he say? Those who have this hope in Christ have this inheritance, and the words used here mean forever, but also as a seal on top, Peter says this hope, this faith you have, is guarded by God. Meaning it is his will. It will be there when the time comes. Now this is not guarding like we like to think about. We have boxes in our own minds for guarding and protection. That's not what this is. It's not some guard dog, though we have probably the best guard dog. It's not some alarm system. It's not some lock on your door or gun in your safe. This is the creator and sustainer of everything, saying you are his, period, full stop. If faith is your stance, if this hope is your inheritance, then nothing can separate you from him. It is Romans 8 in your life. We've been going through Romans on Wednesday nights. We're having fun. Come join us. It's just a discussion. We bring our own questions. What does this mean? We try to figure it out. We've been in Romans 8. If you can't make it, you need to read Romans. If you can't read all of it, you can. You have time. You have that much time. At least read Romans 8. Here's Romans 8, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That's Paul pleading with us here to realize who we are in Jesus. Do you realize it? Peter in our text this morning pleading with us to realize what has been given. Do we realize what has been gifted to us? This is not salvation for everyone everywhere. That is not it. I think that's where our mind goes. I think that's why we kind of lessen the importance of what he's telling us here, because we just think, well, everybody's going to have this. But people are dying without this promise in their life. And while they will have an eternity too, it is an eternity of death. Dying but never dead. Suffering unending. The lake of fire that never goes out. Whatever descriptor you need to put on it. Your gift from your Creator was to escape that fate, and you can only escape by faith in Jesus.
Amen.
All of this, everything we just said, is the reason for our joy. This is the reason that joy can grow in our life. Can't get it anywhere else. It is not your house or your job or even your family. I know I'm not supposed to say that about your family, but it isn't. You can absolutely find happiness and love and a sense of purpose in your family, but you'll never find the joy we speak of here. The reason for the indescribable emotion of joy in our life is only ever because of Jesus. That's it. is only ever because we believe in Him. That is what Christmas is truly about. Is that where we stand? There's another side to this joy here. Our joy has a cause. In this you rejoice. That's where we began, and we backtracked here to see where our joy is placed. And now we're back to verse 6. And we rejoice, but not for long. Verses 6 and 7 work to better define and locate our joy here. Peter moves us, or maybe it's better said that Peter connects our joy to trials, to being grieved. Now, we don't like standing there. The place where we have grief in one hand and joy in the other, and we have to somehow mesh them together, we do not like standing there. But we must, because Scripture stands there. Maybe our most well-known passage about joy that we know is, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. We've been through that passage in James 1 together, so we know that it's not joy in the suffering, but what the sufferings lead to, which is a steadfastness and a completing of us, a refining of us. That's what counted as joy. Paul says this in Romans 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want us to see also that it says, if necessary, here. Do you see that in verse 6? If necessary. You may have trials for a little while, if necessary. Now, that is not as deemed necessary by you or by me. That's not our understanding of what is necessary. Because if it was, let's be honest, suffering would never be necessary in our eyes, right? We would erase that. That's not a category. It's not if necessary as decided by us. The if necessary tells us that the trial we go through, while it is because of our choices, and it is because of our actions, and it's because of the fallenness of the world, and it's because of the sins of this world, it's all those things, all together, or one of them, or any combination of them. But ultimately, God decides what is necessary. Meaning, what you go through will be used to refine you, and what you go through is not outside of God. He has you. He knows the end. And we absolutely wouldn't choose it. We know we wouldn't. We've seen it unfold in our lives. Relationship failures, one after another, hearts being ripped out, eventually leading to the person you spend your life with. Wouldn't be where you are without the others, but wouldn't choose it. Marriages going through hard times, eventually leading to being strengthened. Illnesses that may actually be weakening your body, may actually be lessening your time on this planet. And yet these same illnesses or injuries or other sufferings, whatever it is to you, they lead you to a closer relationship with God. Lead you to where He wants you to be. We wouldn't choose it, but He would, if necessary. Necessary for your growth. Maybe even at times for your punishment. But necessary to grow you in being His. Our text calls it a test here in verse 7. To be found more precious than gold, which is also tested, is also refined. Why? For the glory of God. To lead to our praising of the knowledge of His Son. To lead to our praising of Him giving us faith in Jesus. A faith that carries us through the trials. Not around them. You're not going to find that in here. Not to skip over them, but through them, knowing who we are in Christ. knowing nothing here can separate us from what's coming. That's our joy combined with our suffering, a suffering that will cost us something here. The cost may be large here, but it is nothing in comparison to eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. So if you've known the joy but currently stand in the darkness, then Scripture's plea with you, my plea with you, is to hold on. Lean into your faith. Lean into one another. That is why we gather as His body. He has you. The light is coming. Hold on. If you find yourself this morning knowing that you've never known this joy, faith has never been called yours, you've never been called a child of God, the plea with you in this text is to come to Jesus, because the trials will always be there. Everyone will have trials. It's those with the joy that make it through, still standing on the Word of God. Do you have the joy? There's also a reward. Our joy has a reward. We've discussed this reward already in various ways while making way through this text. We're going to do so again because Peter brings it to our attention. What is our reward for having faith? For our faith being found to be true through the trial. That's what the trials often do. The trials reveal or separate those with real faith and those without. It's a refining fire. That's how it's defined. That's how it is concerning gold. It's how it is for us as well. Verse 8 reveals where we stand when we find out our faith is real. When we come through the trials, the testings. Verse 8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. When standing on the Word of God and standing with the Son of God and having the Spirit of God within, when this is where you are, then you love Him. You believe in Him. No matter what the world pushes, no matter what they push that is next in line to be worshipped as the next God, and that's what the world pushes, other gods. We don't often see it as other gods. We're created with this hole inside us that only worship can fill, meaning everyone worships. We will worship something, and the world will give you plenty of options. Many of them worshipped by us at one time or another. There's no bigger sin in America than idol worship. What was it or is it for you? Those TV personalities, those shows, those apps, those singers, those sports, those careers, that money, yourself. How can we tell what is first in your life? What can you not go without? What do you make sure to get in your life at all costs? Even if you have to scratch everything else off the list, I'm going to do this. What is it? Christians called to something more. No matter what the world pushes, you love Jesus more. That's where you stand. Good. That's not the reward, not according to Peter. We have the gift of faith. We have this gift of joy that can only exist from God, an inexpressible joy that was delivered to us by the cross, delivered to us when Jesus was delivered on earth at Christmas Day. All great things, but not the reward that Peter speaks of. The reward is verse 9. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our souls saved is the reward for our faith. Is the reward for having this joy here and now. Not a joy focused on the here and now, but a joy here that focuses on the future. Our souls saved. We don't pause there enough. We just don't. We say things like spirit or soul, and our mind tends to turn off. We just turn the page. It's not a physical thing in front of us, so we don't give it the time it deserves. The Holy Spirit within is the reason we can be saved. Jesus and his birth and the cross and the empty tomb and faith are all the things we would list. Our sins forgiven. That's a thing we would list, but no Holy Spirit means you are not his. It is that important. We must dwell on it. The other is this idea of a soul. The soul is who you are. It is. You are not the career you have chosen. You're not the family you find yourself in. You're not the clothes you wear. You're not this body you call home. How do we know? Because all these things pass away. The soul remains forever. Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Psalm 121:7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Psalm 54:4, Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. This means that the soul within you is who you are and is what is saved. Is what lives forever. We know this. New bodies when the new world comes, right? Your bodies are temporary and your soul is forever. This also means something else. If the soul is who you are, then the flesh is who you are not. You are not this body. That means you are not the cancer. You're not the scars. You're not the pain of this world. You're not the sufferings that you experience. You are so much more. Made in the image of your Creator, but that image is not the flesh, is not the temporary. You are made to be forever, not just not forever here. The question is, do you believe that you are more? The world will absolutely tell you that you are what you see. You are what you do. You are the physical thing, so do everything in your power to make these things the best for you, to make yourself into what feels right for you. It's why we see the confusion in the world. It's why we see the despair. That's not it. That'll never be it. There will only ever be despair found in the world. You'll never make enough. You'll never do enough. You'll never change yourself enough to make the flesh enough. It cannot be. The flesh will perish, and the soul will last forever. Take care of your soul. Have it. Jesus. Our joy found in Him refreshes the soul. Renews and regenerates our very being. This joy cannot be found in the world. This joy can only be given to you through your faith in Christ. Do you have this joy? You must have this joy because its reward is eternal life. The soul living forever with God. Do you have this joy? We close this morning with the conclusion that true joy can only come from God and is only found in the children of God, believers. Those who have faith in the Son. When you have this joy, the world will still go sideways. The bad will still get in. The sins of your past will creep in. The sufferings of this world will tap you on the shoulder, will flip you upside down. But also, when you have this joy, you know the things of this world can only grow your faith and cannot win, and you know that this world is not your home. Temporary here, and joy forever. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. Just as the angels proclaimed that day of His birth, do not be afraid, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. The Son who became flesh and dwelt among us so that no matter what the world brings our way, we know it'll only ever end in joy forever if you believe. That's the stance of the Christian. Things will be good and things will be bad, and our joy will last forever. If you find yourself in that light this morning, then come and praise Him. If you find yourself standing in the dark this morning because of something in your life right now, then come to pray to Him. If you find yourself this morning knowing that you've never felt the joy we speak of, you've never had faith in Jesus, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The only difference between the world and the Christian is not that you sin no more, but you're now a sinner saved by the grace of God. Saved and promised eternal joy. Does that describe you today? Do you want it to describe you today? Bring anything at all. Our joy is rooted in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together, and we thank you for our joy. Father, we know the good and the bad that this world will bring. Help us reach within us and into your word, and by leaning into one another to find the courage and the strength to push out the joy we know. Father, we love you. And we know it's because of your Son. And we know it's because of the Spirit within. And this joy you're building within us, this joy that'll last forever. Help us realize this so we can take this into the world. The whole world needs joy. The whole world needs Jesus. Help us deliver that to the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.